It's a show where we talk about the power of your mind
to change your world around you,
to literally affect
the fabric of your reality.
We talk about this feeling of hope
and joy
and relief. And that is what being aware of your flow does. It gives you a feeling of power again in your lives.
And that is what being aware of your flow does. It gives you a feeling of power again in your lives.
It is the feeling that you bring forward. It is your emotional connection that really sets the tone for what is going to be happening to you and for you. And you know that feeling when you touch it. It just spreads through you.
I'm Summer McStravick, and welcome to another episode of Flow Dreaming.
Hi, it's Summer, and a quick request before we jump into the show. If you like or even love what you're about to hear, the number one reason the show has gotten around and stays in the favorites in iTunes and the App Store, it's because of your reviews. And we are in our 11th straight year because of you and your reviews. People rely on your opinion, and frankly, they often misunderstand flow dreaming. And the only way to correct that is through you leaving a few words about the program. And I can't do it. I would if I could, but it has to be you. So if I've made any impact on your life at all, please scoot over to iTunes on your podcast app and either subscribe to Flow Dreaming or write a review of the show or the app or both. And mega kisses for doing both. I'll send some good flow your way too. So pause the episode and do it now. Or just get on to the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our latest episode of Flow Dreaming. Today's episode is called Burn Time. And in light of the recent U.S. elections, I don't want you to get it confused. This is not Bernie Sanders' Burn Time. This is B-U-R-N, burn. Burn time, burn cash, burn money. It's a concept of centered around letting go and why sometimes it's difficult to let go or release. And for those of you who are familiar with flow dreaming and the flow dreaming universe and the flow dreaming concept, you already recognize that letting go and releasing is part of your manifesting. It is part of what you do every day. It's an ongoing exercise. It's an ongoing state of being. We bring things in and we let things go, and we bring things in and we let things go. So I want to jump into burn time. Before we do, quick little housekeeping updates, what things that are going on. If you haven't been over to flowdreaming.com recently, please go check it out. It's been getting a facelift and it just keeps looking better and better. You can check out the blog there and get a free kit to learn how to flow dream, all kinds of stuff. So, jumping in, burn time. What does it mean to let go of stuff? So I, as many of you know, I work not only with my students in Me School, but with my private clients who are also in Me School, but they get a little extra time. And one of the topics that's been coming up a lot is, I thought I was over this. I thought I had, you know, no more feelings attached to this. I thought, and I don't, and what's going on? And when will I ever let go of this? When will it ever, you know, be gone from me? And, you know, the longer that I do this work, the more I realize that that's not even really the correct answer. The correct question to ask. We need to orient ourselves differently, like jump paradigms, essentially. And I'm going to lead up to how I've come to this conclusion, like what's happened for me. So there used to be a time in my life where whenever I felt something was wasted or squandered, I really had a hard time with it. You know, I had a tough time. I wasted those years. I squandered this money. I'm afraid to do something now because what if I lose it? What if I lose out? What if it's wrong? What if I, you know, invest in something and it doesn't work and I get nothing from it? I've used my business, right? My work and career as a vehicle for me to play out and work through a lot of these inner self-development issues. And in my work, one of the things that I saw happening was I would decide to invest in something, you know, plunk some money down. And then if it wasn't working out, right, that maybe the vendor wasn't working out or, you know, I wasn't getting what I thought I should be getting, it's like a fork in the road would appear. And the fork would be one direction, you know, yell at them, scream at them, threaten to sue them, get involved with them, invest a lot more of my time into them. Or the other path would be cut my losses, remove the relationship, eliminate this energy from my life. And obviously, there's a driving, you know, need to do both. You want to get your money's worth. It's not fair if you let, you know, bad people walk away. On the other hand, there's also a need to not have that energy in our lives, right? To just disinvest ourselves from it. And I think always kind of bouncing back and forth between these two feelings, like these two decisions, put me into this next level of understanding, one that's been working pretty darn well for me. What I do is I recognize that anytime I'm investing myself into something, right? And remember, money is an extension of yourself, right? Money is an extension of yourself. Time, if you're investing your time in something, that's an extension of yourself. Your desire, your need, that's an extension of your emotional self. Everything you invest in is really just you, no matter what form it might take. So when I'm investing myself in something, I've made a series of priorities. One is that there's a cutoff, right? Where in my mind, I can say to myself, here is what I'm willing to do or give or, you know, involve myself. Here's how much I'm willing to give of myself to make this situation work, to make it happen, to get my needs met out of it, to get my fair share out of it, right? That's often something that pops up for us, our fair share. It's an emotion that we want to fulfill that if we don't, it you know, kind of train wrecks us for a while. So I have a general idea of what I'm willing to invest. And the point for me where it starts to stop is when I tip into everyday feeling, this is not working. This is frustrating. This is just hemorrhaging, you know, my emotional self, my time, my cash, whatever. When I dip from the place of invested optimism to pessimistic gritting and bearing, you'll notice if you look, think about something in your life right now, where are you in those two places? Invested optimism. Yeah, it's taking some time. We're working this stuff out where it's just going to take a little more versus this isn't working. I'm getting more and more angry. What's going on is that you're growing anger in your life. You're growing frustration in your life. You're growing a sense of, I don't get what I need. You're growing a feeling of, I'm not, of lack thinking, like, oh, I did it again, this bad thing. Now, I pull back, right? I'm looking holistically. Where am I investing my emotions in my life? Flow, think of flow, your future, as reading you at all times. So whatever schematics are going on inside of you, whatever emotional makeup, energetic makeup, your flow is reading. The minute I tip from invested optimism into a feeling of pessimistic grit and bear, what do you think happens outside of me? My flow says, oh, we're going into grit and bear mode. Okay, we're going into salvage mode. We're going into this isn't working out mode. And remember how I said there's a fork in the road? You may not realize it, but you may have chosen the road of, well, I'm going to get everything I can out of it. I'm just going to push-pull. This is going to be a fight. This is going to be difficult. This is completely different than the path of ease and flow and expansion and good doors opening one after another for you, right? That's flow. That's an energy. That's a state that we can all be in all the time or almost all the time. Maybe not all the time, but almost all the time. So as you kind of grow into this way of living, this flow philosophy, this flow dreaming world, you become much more willing to not take that road that leads to frustration, anger, the tug of war, the argument, the push-pull. And it's not that you're avoiding conflict. I want you to be really clear on this. I will go ahead and allow myself to feel conflict, right? So if I have an issue, if I have something where I've invested myself into it and I have a need that needs to get met, I'm willing to state it and say it and push forward, but I'm conscious of the energy behind it. So here's where this new paradigm kind of pops into place. I call it burn time, burn money. Whenever I am pushing for something bigger in my life, a better relationship, more intimacy, growing my staff and my team or my company, whatever it may be, where I'm going to go and I'm going to take some risks, right? There's always that concept of risk here. I'm going to take some risks because I want to grow. What I will do is say to myself, okay, I'm going to build into this kind of slush fund. I don't know what else to call it, a slush fund in my mind, in my heart. The slush fund says, this may cost me $5,000 more than I thought. I'm willing to let go of this contractor even after I've paid them if it's slowing me down to keep them, right? If it's worse to keep them and it's making me, you know, go backwards or get into these states of frustration, because what I'm realizing is these states of frustration, these states of being stopped or stalled or angered, that's an emotion that ripples through your whole life, right? In flow, things are not just isolated. We all experience this. Our spouse comes home angry after work and the anger comes to the whole household. And then between the two of you, it starts to get stressed and angry. I mean, and that's just an obvious way. So my goal in life is to continuously minimize the resistance, to go where the open doors are and to close the doors where I don't want to be going down, where flow is saying, no, this is not working. And the reason we don't often close those doors is because we say, I'm invested. I can't. I would lose this. I'd lose my money. I would lose my, you know what? Every woman I've spoken to and man who said, you know, I said that to myself about this terrible marriage for years and years. But the day I decided to file for divorce and de-invest myself was the best day of my life, right? It was the best. I don't regret it for a second. Why did they come to that conclusion? Because they've tipped over that place of engaged optimism, willingness to go into conflict because it's going to be productive versus can't let go. I invested too much. Can't let go. Right? That stops your life. It stops your business. It stops your intimacy. It stops everything. So this idea of burn time or the slush fund is just really a concept that if I have to release $2,000, if I have to just say, fine, I'm calling it quits on this. In fact, I actually did this just this morning on a project that I've invested a significant amount of money into. I canceled it. I said, you know what? We've missed every deadline for the last 8 months. We're done. I'm done. Or I could say, all right, I'll be upset and frustrated for another 8 months. This impacts my entire business. It impacts all of my employees. It impacts me, my happiness when I'm interacting with my kids and Charles. It impacts it. I don't want it. I can't afford for it to have that much impact in my life. I really cannot afford that. It's giving it too much power. So look at your life. What are you giving too much power like that? Because you are not assigning the sense of burn time or burn cash to it. Now, burn time is a similar thing, right? It may take me more months than I assume. I'm going to factor that in. It's okay if it doesn't work out. If I've invested, you know, I often talk with people who are like, well, I want to hire someone to help me. I need a VA and I'm afraid. And what if I train them and they don't work out? I'm like, so what? It's burn time. Factor it in. Stop being afraid of it. Stop letting that hold you back. It's just burn time. If you want to be really successful, you're going to have to get really comfortable with this concept of burn time. Otherwise, you will always stop yourself and say, I can't do it yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm not there yet. I don't know enough yet. You'll throw up a smokescreen of all of these feelings to hold you in place because you're afraid of the potential for loss. So this brings up an idea that I ran across. Oh, God, it was in one of the many other podcasts that I listened to. It was one of the social sciences, behavioral economics. I'm fascinated by all of that, how people translate their inner selves into action, right? Because that's essentially what flow dreaming is, translating your inner self into action. Just in flow dreaming, we kind of expand on it from the level of just science and biology. We interpret it through spirituality as well, right? Spirit and energy. We fold that in, whereas the social sciences exclude that. So anyway, I was listening to this podcast, and they put something, a concept very elegantly. It's the concept of loss aversion, which plays directly into this idea of burn time and how we act and how we move through life. So I'm going to just kind of paraphrase what I remember. It may not be 100% accurate. But basically, there were these researchers who were teaching some monkeys how to gamble, right? And they were using primates because, you know, you can model things with primates and their behavior that humans tend to also follow pretty closely. So the way they act is typically the way we act. So they were teaching these primates, these monkeys, to gamble. And the way they did it is they trained the monkeys to understand that if they had a token, like a coin, they could trade it in for something. They could trade it in for treats. They trained the monkeys that there were two researchers. One researcher always had three treats in his hand. He had like three apple slices. If the monkey gave it to that particular researcher, he was going to gamble. He might get all three slices or just one slice. Now, there was another researcher that they knew, and this person always had just one apple slice in his hand. But if you gave your coin to that researcher, you would get from one to three apple slices, two of which he wouldn't reveal. And the question was, which researcher did these monkeys prefer? And what did that mean? Turns out, most of the monkeys went for the guy who was only showing them one apple slice, but they knew that sometimes, if they gambled, they would actually get three from this guy. And the guy who would present three, but sometimes only give one, they didn't like him. Because the feeling was, I see three and you're taking two away? I don't like that. Now, statistically, they made sure that it was exactly even, that both of these guys ended up giving the exact even amount of times, the same ratios. So this is all in perception. If you feel you're going to lose something, it is twice as significant inside of you as the feeling of gaining something. Right? So they call this concept loss aversion. And you've heard me talk a lot about lack thinking, right? Lack thinking being this embedded response in us to, I'm not going to get what I need. I'm planning and positioning myself to go around this, and that because I feel that I won't get what I need. I won't get the relationship I want. I'm not going to get the income I want. I'm not going to get the clothes that even look good on me, right? We have this perception, I won't get what I need. I won't get what I need. Loss aversion plays into this, right? Because it's a similar feeling of, I'm afraid something will be taken from me. I'm afraid something will be taken from me. So when you are playing with the concept of burn time, you're actually confronting this innate biological feeling in you of something being taken away. Now, in flow dreaming, we have to mitigate that, right? We have to compensate for that. We want to be successful despite that lack thinking and that loss aversion, you know, these twinned threads that move through us. Because what do? They always hold us back, right? They hold us in place. They keep us in a position of fear, and this is good enough, and I don't want more. And this is absolutely anathema to all of us who are invested in personal growth. Because what we're doing is we're saying, I can do better. I can feel better, right? Especially I can feel better. I can feel happier more often. I can feel in peace in myself and my life more often. I can feel like I'm filled with joy. I can feel these things. I can expand on these. These are critical to my living a great, great life. It's not even what I do or what I have. It's these feelings I'm cultivating. How do I get there? So burn time and burn cash. Factor it into everything you do. At a point, at a certain point, you're going to call the loss. You're going to say, you know what? I've tipped over. I've tipped over that point. Now I'm anticipating and expecting more frustration, more anger, more upset. I've moved. It's like a little climber going up a mountain peak, right? On the way up, it's optimistic engagement, right? Confrontation. You could even have conflict, but there's an optimistic, engaged feeling. But if you reach the peak of that mountain and you slide down the other side and it starts going the other way, think of it like you sliding into a cesspool of mud and pollution. You are now energetically giving your flow, giving your future an entirely new imprint than the one that you're anticipating. So, you know, there's one other thing I wanted to kind of add into this. There's another, if you, in case you guys are, I'm feeling sciencey this week, returning to this. There's another behavior that they have done countless studies on in humans. It's called the sunk cost fallacy. Sunk cost fallacy. It again kind of explains why this burn time and burn money is something that we don't naturally incorporate, that we have to learn, right? It's a learned behavior. If you do it, it's going to become a huge part of your development though, right? It's going to free you on so many levels. But the sunk cost fallacy basically says that if I've invested a ton in something already, or even invested anything, time, effort, money, whatever, then even if it stops working, I have to continue this. Right? I have to continue it because I've put so much into it already and I can't let that go. You know, already in my head, all this stuff is popping up where I have done this or continue to do this or catch myself still doing it. Why am I doing this? Right? And these are examples where, like, you know, you have tickets to something, right? And suddenly it becomes really hard to get there, and your car is not working, and then you have to maybe rent a car, but you can't give up the tickets. You still got to go, right? Because you invested in them, even though now it's costing you more and more and more to do the same thing. Realistically, it would have been good just to say, "Oh, I'm going to let go of that $20," you know, and bye, instead of paying another $200. But we don't do that. We dig in deeper. You know, it's the same thing that gamblers experience. Well, I already put in 100. I better put in another 100 to try and get my 100 back. And where do you think that comes from? Can you see the lack in there? Can you see the loss in there? I've lost something. I'll lose something. I've lost something. That's a feeling that you operate from in your life. I don't want to lose something. I'll lose something. What is that telling your future? What is that telling your flow? It says, I'm engaging forward in my life, driven by a fear of losing something. That is the opposite of manifesting. The exact 180 degree opposite. Manifesting is, I live in an abundant universe. There'll be more tickets. Flow is always giving to me. You see, and this is where we bring in kind of the spiritual aspect, right? We have to remind ourselves of what we truly believe and feel. Life is abundant. God is giving. Flow is offering up stuff to us every day. If something passes us by, you've heard me say this over and over, if something passes me by today, I don't have to mourn its loss because I know it'll come again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And, you know, the worst cases of this occur in what I call, sometimes I'll be talking to my staff, you know, my coaches, and I'll say, this person is backward looking, right? She's caught in a backward looking trap. And we all nod our heads like, yes, yes, we know this feeling. You can feel it about certain people. Everything good is behind them. The best job was behind them. The best career was behind them. The best marriage was behind them. The best times are behind them. And it's like they're caught in a time warp of, it was all back there. It was all back there. So as you move into flow more, you're recognizing it's not back there. It's all ahead of you. More is coming. There's always more coming. Where did you lose the faith that there was more coming? What happened to you that made you stop feeling that there was more coming? Right? And that's the key. That's the key question. What happened to you that made you lose faith and lose trust that more is coming? Like, think on that. You know, it's the same, it's a sister feeling to that other concept of that I was talking just this week about with some clients, that, you know, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Just kind of waiting, not trusting. Sister feeling. In flow dreaming, we eradicate this. You eradicate this. You pull it up and out of you. You expose it. You say, I can't, it's too costly for me to allow myself to have those feelings anymore. You know, that's what happened for me. It became too costly for me to play these tug of war games or go into the frustration, and it became too costly. The money became a very distant concern. It was something else. It was costing my life, right? Costing my focus, costing a piece of me right now and what I'm creating for next. If I'm all embroiled in something that's not working, that's, you know, been going on, it's too costly. That's the shift I'd love to see you get from today's episode, to realize what's become too costly in your life. What can you let go of? Can you call it burn time? Can you start planning into everything you do the sense of, you know what? I'm going to try it. If it doesn't work out, it's fine. I'll have invested some of XYZ in it, but if it doesn't work, it's okay. Right? You hire a person, they don't work out, fine. You do a telesummit or something and you don't have enough people sign up for it, fine. Burn time, right? Let it go. Keep moving. Keep moving toward the doors that do open. And then ask yourself, do I trust that more doors are actually opening? Because that's the thing that will pull you over to the other side. If you don't have that trust, you're not going to be able to make the leap. But if you do have the trust, more is coming. I live in an abundant world. Life is always giving to me. The ocean is always flowing its waves upon my shore, revealing treasure after treasure every single day. If you've got that, then you can do this. All right. So, good thoughts, good thinking. I'm going to follow up with some recommendations for some flow dreams and some playlists that you can find in the shop at flowdreaming.com. I like the playlists that have the flow dream Super Lucky, the Yellow Brick Road of Yeses, Letting Go and Releasing. Look these up. Easily Release Anything. Find those. Those will all help you reach into this different space. Let go of what needs to be let go of and start to feel like I can build in this concept of I might lose a little, but I'm gaining more. I might lose a little, but I'm gaining more. Okay? And remember, just because you're telling your flow, I might lose a little, don't jump to that thought of, oh my God, now I'm manifesting that I'm going to lose. Uh-uh. What you're creating is a kind of non-resistance to it. You're not making it. But what you're saying is, I am okay with being guided and nudged away from things that don't work. And I'm not going to cling, and I'm not going to cry, and I'm not going to get frustrated, and I'm not going to invest more in them. I'm okay with them, and I'm okay seeing them, and I'm okay with releasing them. Right? That's a very positive, strong statement. Okay, we're going to go to a really quick little break. And when we come back, we get to do a flow dream together to help you get even more comfortable with adding in this delicious, expansive feeling of burn time in your life. Stay with me. Hey, it's summer again, and we're on a break. But this is where I catch you up on a couple of things that can really help you go much deeper with flow dreaming. First, if you're wondering, how do I flow dream? What is flow dreaming? Then I have a free kit I created to teach you how to be in flow, how to talk to flow, how to manifest in your flow. Go to flowdreaming.com, enter your email there, and you'll get my tutorial on how to do all of this. I also give you a free flow dream to get started with. And this gives you the first step toward creating a freaking awesome life. And it also puts all of the concepts that you're learning in this podcast into context. So pop in your email on my homepage, flowdreaming.com, right now. Why not? We're on break. And I'll send it right to you. Then if you want to go a step further, you can begin expanding your library of flow dreams, which are these emotionally delicious audios that help you grow your power and manifest your future. This is the stuff. This is what we actually work with, how we do it. And they're on all kinds of topics. You can end fear, you can get unstuck or find your perfect career, be seen, get out of debt, find your soulmate, clear your body of toxins. It's just, the list is practically endless. These playlists are very powerful and very effective. In fact, I get emails every day with thank you notes from lottery winners, people who've just gotten married, people who got these huge unexpected bonuses at work, or they've reduced massive amounts of pain or debt, or they've healed themselves either inside or in their body. So please visit the shop at flowdreaming.com and see how you want to begin changing your life. Now, back to the
Welcome
show.
Welcome back.
You guys ready to go into flow together? If this is your first time, just recognize that it's not meditation. It's not self-hypnosis. There's no binaural beats in it. What I'm trying to do is help you move into a very emotionally connected state, right? Your emotions are number one, they're key. I want you to become, to feel, to let this kind of explosion of feeling move through you, rock you. This feeling is like an energetic imprint. It's like a supernova. And then we bring in the concept of flow, recognizing that not only are we physical bodies, but we're non-physical bodies. And in both, right, we're tied together. We're a physical consciousness and a non-physical consciousness. And we are on a path of expansion, a path of greater knowledge, growth, a path into our future. And this path is a path of ease, a path of flow. It's the natural rhythm of the universe, right? The universe itself is in this expansive phase. And this is the same thing that you're in. That's what they say, you know, about us becoming evolved, becoming enlightened, right? Having our souls be, you know, brought up to that next level. Think of this as flow being your path there, laid out for you. And we go through all of these experiences on our way there as part of this path. And often these experiences are things that we ourselves have brought on that we are choosing to taste and explore, to move through, to gain and grow. So when we're flow dreaming about, for instance, a particular aspect or a thing. You can flow dream just to get into this state of pure alignment. You can do that. However, a lot of times we like to flow about certain sort of niche parts of our lives, meaning things that we're working on, that we're trying to grow through, move through, build, release, let go of, etc., heal. And that's where we create these flow dreams around certain emotions and certain stuff, like our money flow dreams, or, you know, these are some flow dreams for family, or now I'm going to go and flow around this inner healing that needs to be taken care of, right? I'm putting all of this in this growing, expansive, flow, spiritually connected state and feeling differently, telling the universe, this is what I really want. This is who I really am. Hey, guys, here's a template. Here's a blueprint. Take this. Don't listen to all that other stuff I've been spewing all day long and, you know, all that other garbage that's been going through my head. I know I do it all the time. Don't listen to that. Listen to this feeling instead. This is more powerful. This is more directed. This is the real me. This is what I really want. All right? That's the purpose, the intention behind flow dreaming. So if you're new, go get the free kit that's on my website. I think it's still free. It teaches you how to do it. For those of you who are experts, close your eyes. Let's get in and play with this feeling of what it's like to just kind of account for, allow, bring in this amount. Call it an amount of money or time or desires, hopes, things that you're willing to let go of. That if it happens, you're not disappointed, scared, upset. You've already built it in. Burn time. Burn money. It's okay. I've already accounted for that in my plan. It's not going to wreck me or ruin me. Right? That's a strong, powerful, empowered feeling. Deep breath in, relaxing all the way down to the bottom of your abdomen. Your shoulders relax. Chest is open and expansive. Your jaw releases. Your brow releases. Roll your neck. Open your throat. Now, with your eyes still closed, go ahead and imagine that you're on a beautiful grassy hill, like when you were a kid, playing out in the sunshine and the green grass. Except this grass doesn't make your skin feel itchy. Doesn't plug up your nose. This grass is made of pure energy, light. Little strands, little bits of waving green light and energy. Like watching the wind blow over grass that's grown high, you can see rippling waves of energy move down this grassy hillside in front of you. And you have a feeling, ooh, I want to slide down this. I want to slide down this energy like I'm taking an old gunny sack and I'm going to sit on it and I'm just going to go. Like sledding down a hill or sliding down a water slide. I'm just going to go down through this energy. And so you let go, you release, and down you go, sliding all the way through this gorgeous green and brilliant colored light. And you recognize, I didn't plan where I was going to go. I have no particular direction. I trust, just like I trust when I slide down a green grassy hill, that I'll reach wherever I need to go. It's going to be safe. It's going to be the right path. There we go. Yours is, and your path is continuing. This slide is continuing. It's going straight, and it's going far now, and you're moving into your life and into your future. This delicious feeling of movement. As you slow down now and you look around you, you're looking at little scenes from your life. You're looking at especially those scenes where things have felt tight, like they're not working. And you can see how you've built up this framework like a little play stage with the fake houses and the boards propping it up on the other side. You've built up these little wooden cages around certain things in your life, and you said, you have to do this, you have to be this way. And if you're not doing it, if you're not being in it, ooh, notice how you stomp your feet sometimes in frustration. What if you just let go? What if you instead look at this thing and you say, you know what? You should have been part of my burn time. You should have been part of my burn funds. Whatever it may be, you should have been part of that piece that I experimented with and then let go of. But I didn't let go of you. I trapped you. I kept hammering at you, trying to get you to work, trying to get you to fit into this particular stage setup that I said, hey, that's what we agreed on. Hey, that's what the expectation was. Hey, oh, wait a second. You're part of my burn time. Whoa, you were one of those things I should have moved through and let go of. You were a loss that I should have incurred, that I should have factored in. What a different feeling that is inside me. A loss that I should have factored in, that I shouldn't feel regret for. I should have just said, oh, you're part of that. I know you. Because as I try things, as I play with things, sometimes they don't work. Like a juggler learning to juggle, juggle, juggle. Sometimes those balls, those batons drop. They do. It's not perfect from the start. And this thing I'm looking at, this is one of those balls that dropped. It was part of the learning curve, and yet I kept trying to pick it up and got mad at it. Stay, stay, stay. I should have accepted this one dropped. It was supposed to drop. It was part of the dropping. It was part of the burn time. It was factored into the whole big thing. And here I've been just putting myself through a ringer around it. I let it go. I let it go. Oh, that feels so good. That I've given myself permission to do that, that feels so good. And now that second feeling comes in, blooming as I look at this. Should have done this how long ago? How long ago should I have done this? How long ago should I have let this go? What would have come in its place? And we turn and look. Oh, that's right. There was all that abundance. I had my head facing in the wrong direction all this time. If I had just looked over there, that's all the abundance. Those are the new opportunities. That was the chance to fix it. That was the next new thing. Oh, it was right there all this time. But I never looked at it until now. So I open my arms and I embrace it. That. You, I'm ready for you. I'm ready for you. Come in. Replace this. Fix it. Let's move on. I love this feeling. I love this strategy. I love letting my flow have these emotions. Oh, I love it. And now I know I can do it anytime I want. I remember this. I can feel this anytime I need. And flow, if you serve it up to me, if you make it clear to me, I'm paying attention now, and I'll say, oh, that's a burn time. Okay. Got it. Thank you. Now linger in that feeling. Stay in that feeling, even now. As you find your daydream, your flow dream ending. Whenever you're ready, just open your eyes. And there you have it. Felt good, huh? You just gave yourself permission to start building this in your life. You gave yourself a deep, flow-filled understanding in spirit, in energy, in your emotional self. You just reconstructed your emotional, energetic self to now allow in this concept and start making a shift toward this direction, meaning a lot of things now you've given permission to let go of. All right, I hope that really helped you. By the way, I've been loving, before we sign off here, I've been loving your emailed suggestions for show topics. Just send them to me, summer@flowdreaming.com. If I don't email you back or if I forget to, please don't take it personally. Sometimes I get inundated and things slip past me, slip by. Most of the time, though, I'm able to at least read everything and kind of absorb it. So thank you. Thank you. All right. Love you guys. And I'll see you next week for another episode of Flow Dreaming. All right. That wraps up our episode today. But before you go, two things. One, you can get the Flow Dreaming app in the Google, Amazon, or iTunes app stores. It allows you to search and sort, to mark your favorite episodes. It's completely free to download. And it gives you access to the latest several dozen of these episodes as well as to the premium episode library, where there are more than 400 episodes that date back 10 years. The app's free, so go download it now at Flow Dreaming in the App Store on your mobile device. And last, if you love my show, I'm going to give a shout out to my mom's podcast. It's called The Dear Venus Show, and she's an amazing intuitive and a medium and super, super funny. Search the words Dear Venus in your podcast directory or online, and that way you can find her too.